Hello. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. This brief statement in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 is the message of the gospel of the good news in a nutshell. Upon this statement hinges your salvation and your life in Christ. And today we're going to examine this statement more closely, especially the six words grace, saved, faith, gift, works, and boast. This is Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth, podcasting from historic Hyde Park, New York, and I'm your host, Dr. Vic Torres. My focus will be on the love, forgiveness, and acceptance found in Jesus Christ, which enables us to live the victorious life. For more information, go to www.PastorVicsNuggets or PastorVic.com. For by grace you've been saved through faith. Now, what is this thing that we see in Ephesians called grace? Grace in the biblical sense is the highest expression of love. The Greek word for grace is charis and is most often defined as an unconditional gift. Now, we could spend a lifetime trying to figure out what this magnificent thing called grace or God's grace is. You see, grace is so awesome, so unexpected, and so undeserved. God's grace in the area of salvation is that if we put our faith in Jesus, we are forgiven of all of our sins, and we receive the guarantee that we will go to heaven and spend eternity with Him. In other words, heaven is actually a free gift to those whose faith is in Jesus Christ. Now, to fully understand God's grace, you have to understand God's kind of love. In the New Testament, there are three important words that are translated from the Greek into the word love. This means that every time you see the word love in the New Testament, it could be one of these three words. So the first word is the word storge. And this is the type of love that signifies the natural affection between family members, the affection between siblings, relatives, parents. Now, of course, we all know that kind of love. It's basically family love. The second Greek word is the word philia. This Greek word for love signifies to be a friend to be fond of an individual, and it can even apply to objects. I love my car. So, as an example. But have any affection for or a feeling. As a matter of fact, the word philia is the basis for the word Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. The third word for love, and probably the most important for us, is the word agape. This Greek word for love appears most frequently in the New Testament, and it's most often understood in the Bible as unconditional love. In other words, a decision to love. I know that's difficult to grab a hold of, but it's a commitment to love. Now, agape love is a love that is the outcome of some moral principle it's not just a feeling or a liking or an affection. That's philia. Remember, agape is a decision, a commitment. As a result, agape love means to love the undeserving despite disappointment and rejection. But at the same time, it doesn't mean to love out of duty or some kind of religious obligation. Now, as a parent, and if you're a parent, you can appreciate this kind of agape love. You know that no matter what your children do, no matter how they may disappoint you or even hurt you, you still love them, and you want the best for them. That is the kind of love God has for you. No matter what you've done, no matter what kind of person you've become, God sent Jesus for you because He loves you. Romans 5:8 says the following, "But God demonstrates His love, which is agape, towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus paid the price for sin, and the result, because we trust in what Jesus did, we are forgiven and we are cleansed of all of our sins. God's nature is agape love. 1 John 4:8 tells us that he who does not love agape does not know God, for God is love, agape. Understand this. This doesn't mean that God is capable of love. It's more than that. He is the embodiment of love. He is what love is. So everything he does is from the perspective and the motivation of agape love. God loves his creation, even with that, when that very same creation rejects him. Now, this kind of love is really quite foreign to our life experience. Honestly, if most of us have experienced, what I would call a performance type of love. In other words, if we're good, we experience love. If we're not good, then we are either punished or rejected. Let's take a look at the next word. And that is, what does it mean to be saved? You have been saved through faith. That's Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. The Greek word here for the word saved is the word sozo, which means to be healed, delivered, made safe, or rescued. Now you might be thinking, well, what do I need to be rescued from? Well, how about rescued from hell? I know that the common thinking is, I hope that I'm going to heaven, or I'm trying to be good, or I've never like killed anyone or robbed a bank or anything like that. Well, the fact of the matter is that while it's a good thing to try and be good, and it's a good thing that you haven't committed any major crimes, at least got caught at it, these are not the issues that determine salvation or being saved. The real issue is, do you believe that Jesus is God, that he died for your sins, and that he rose again from the dead? If you believe these three significant points, and you're living your life in a way that reflects that you believe these things, then you are, technically, by definition, you're saved. You have salvation. Your final destination is heaven. God has placed his Holy Spirit in you to teach you, to guide you, to comfort you in your time of need. You don't have to wish, you don't have to hope, you don't have to be at all concerned that your final destination is heaven, because it's a done deal. Jesus has assured that for you. Listen to what the Gospel of John 3:16 through 18 says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's good news. Then verse 17 says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And then finally in verse 18, he who believes in him is not condemned. Great news. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, Jesus. Can you see it? You see, Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn people to hell. In a very true sense, people are already destined to hell because they refuse to believe in Jesus and what he did on the cross of Calvary. Some people, frankly, choose to live in denial of what Jesus did because they're afraid that they will have to change. The fact is, you don't change to become good enough to accept Jesus as Lord. You accept Jesus as Lord, and then you'll be changed. Now, salvation assures us of two important things. As we said, heaven is ours. And two, God wants us to lead us into the abundant life right here on earth. As we move on, let's look at what the word faith. You have been saved through faith. That's again, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. So here are love and grace, two things that are quite impossible to fully understand. God's love and God's grace. They're difficult to understand with our natural minds or our intellect because they are spiritual principles. How then do we comprehend them? It must be by faith. When we accept by faith that God loves us, it then naturally follows that we can then accept that he wants to bless us. Now, the word faith does not mean hoping or wishing. Faith in a spiritual sense is the substance of things hoped for, the assurance of things unseen. That was Hebrews 11:1. This verse is the perfect way to describe true faith. You see, faith is the reality of things hoped for. That means it's as if you see it as existing before it actually exists. Then faith is the assurance of things unseen, which clearly describe the spiritual realm. In Romans chapter 4, verse 20, Abraham, who was about 100 years old at this point, and was promised a son, was promised children, listen to what he says at this particular point in his life. It says about Abraham that he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, what God had promised, he was also able to perform. It's the promises of God that produce godly hope, and faith is the assurance that he will perform it. So faith in operation is when a person behaves as if he has the promise even before it has come to pass. Remember, the world says, "Show me, and then I'll believe." Jesus says, "Believe in me, and then I will show you." Then we want to now take a moment to take a look at the word gift. What do we mean by gift in Ephesians 2, 8, 9 when it said, "It is the gift of God"? Basically, what the scripture is saying is that salvation is the gift of God. The word gift makes us understand that it's not something that we deserve, and it's not something that we earn. You see, if you deserve something, or you earn something, that's simply a product of work. But a gift is an action of grace. In the Greek, it's the word doron, which means a present, specifically related to a sacrifice or an offering. And so we understand that Jesus was the sacrifice that enabled the gift of salvation, eternal life to be given to those who receive it by faith. In John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist says of Jesus as he's approaching, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." It was clearly understood that the Lamb was Jesus, and at the same time, he was that sacrificial Lamb. Let's take a moment now to take a look at the word works. It says that this thing, the Ephesians 2, 8, 9, it's not of works. Salvation is not of works. And it's taken from the principle of the Old Testament. It's called the works of the law. Under the Old Testament, righteousness, or being in a right relationship with God under the law, depended upon obedience to the law of the Torah. The Torah were basically the first five books of the Bible. Now, these laws had to do with the performance or the practice of certain acts or rituals, which was dictated by the Torah. Therefore, salvation under Old Testament law was based on how well or how honestly you observe the law. The phrase "not of works" clearly means it's not based on your behavior or your performance as to how good you are. For most of us, we're taught, and we go through life believing that if we're good, we'll be rewarded. While there's a practical and natural truth to this, it does not apply to God's view of us. Remember John 3:16. God gave us a wonderful gift. "For God so loved the world that he agaped the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, God gives out of unconditional love. God's love is unearned and it's undeserved. It is a gift of grace. The Greek word for work is ergo and is defined as to toil or it's an outcome of an effort or an occupation. By implication, it's an act. It's something that you do or that you're doing. It's labor, it's work, it's all of these things. But it's not a gift. If you have to work for it, it's not a gift. If you have to try and earn it or deserve it, then you're missing the point of what grace is. And finally, we want to take a look at the word boast. It says, "lest anyone should boast." The phrase "lest anyone should boast" simply means that you cannot take any credit for what God has so graciously given. You see, there is nothing you can do to save yourself other than to put your trust or your faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 3:23 makes it clear that none of us deserve salvation. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." You know, it's in that word all. All have sinned. You can look it up in the Greek. You can look it up in the Hebrew. No matter how you slice it, all means all. When you put your faith in Jesus, God the Father sees you as innocent and clean. And so what have we been talking about? We've been talking about Ephesians 2:8-9. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Take these steps of faith today. See yourself not as the world sees you, not as your family sees you, but see yourself as God sees you. You are loved by the Father. You're forgiven by Jesus and accepted into the family of God by virtue of the Holy Spirit living in you. Thanks for listening to Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. And again, if you'd like to know more about our show, please check out our website at PastorVicsNuggets.com or simply PastorVic.com. God bless you and have a wonderful, overcoming, victorious week until I see you the next time. God bless you. Bye-bye.